99.44% pure enjoyment. The right to happiness. Compliments of Ivory Soap. The soap that makes everybody happy.
Including babies.
And that's Kitty. He's got a warning.
10 more wash days till Christmas. So you ought to make yourself a present of Ivory Soap now. Because if you're like I was, knowing Ivory's safe, but thinking it can't clean clothes hard enough, you're in for some shock. I mean it. I've seen it. For instance, my husband Tom wears work shirts and overalls. They come out so clean, he says, Kitty, you're professional. And the twin gingham play suits, clean. They're bright as Broadway. And my linens look so glistening and lovely. Ivory Soap makes them a white clean. And my wash smells so sweet and clean. Get my raving. Maybe you're already using Ivory Soap for wash day and think I'm kind of slow to catch on. But it took this soap situation to snap me out of my old laundry bar.
A cake of Ivory packs more cleaning power than the strongest kind of laundry bar. Why? Ivory is pure soap, concentrated. Makes up to twice the suds.
I don't know about statistics, but Ivory Soap gets my wash clean, clean, clean.
Miles Nelson's younger sister, Deborah, has come into the inn where she and Miles are staying. Back to the inn where Miles first came so as to be near Carolyn Kramer, who is staying about a mile up the beach at Seaside Lodge. Deborah is well aware of the conflict in her brother's mind and in his heart, and she was afraid he might be gone before she returned. She breathed a sigh of temporary relief when she saw his car in the driveway. But then she realized that it would still be in the garage if he hadn't asked for it. And to her, this means but one thing. Miles is returning to the city. Entering his room, she sees that once again his clothes are laid out on the bed, that his bag is half packed, as it was the day she first came here to surprise him. Miles has taken no notice of her, and he continues with his packing until she says,
"Oh, you're packing, Miles?"
"Obviously."
"Oh, you talked long distance to Sam Roberts."
"I did."
"I suppose he urged you to come back."
"He did."
"Well, I should think you'd have an assistant who could work alone for a few days without running to Papa for help."
"It's not that so much. Rather, that's only part of it. There's nothing more I can do here. I can't enjoy a vacation when there's so much to be done back in town. There's no point in my stay."
"Oh, you're mad because Carolyn laughed at you. You're just like a little boy."
"You'd better start packing yourself, Debbie, because you're going back with me. I'm not allowing you to stay down here alone."
"Oh, I'll go back with you if your mind's made up. Oh, but I'll just bet you did look funny. Your clothes all soaking wet after pulling Skippy out of the surf. And I'll bet you felt foolish, too, realizing how shallow the water was and that it really wasn't necessary at all."
"The child could have been swept out to sea, Debbie. The undertow was..." "Go pack your bag."
"Oh, very well. Oh, yes. That reminds me. There's an extra sports coat of yours you might want to put in. Come on, catch."
"Thanks, honey. Where did you get this coat?"
"Oh, a friend of mine gave it to me."
"I left this coat on the beach this morning down near the Seaside Lodge."
"I know you did."
"Why did you go down there, Debbie?"
"To get the coat. Why, it's a nice coat. I was afraid you'd go home without it."
"Who gave it to you?"
"Friend of mine."
"I wish you'd stop being so coy."
He gave me a message along with a coat, too. But since your mind's made up to go home, there's no need giving you the message."
"You were given a message for me?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Well, what was it?"
"Well, She said she hoped you wouldn't go back to the city quite yet. She said you'd understand why. She went on to say that she hoped you'd spend a few days longer. She was sort of repeating herself, wasn't she?
Oh, you saw Carolyn's mother.
Now, how did you know?
For a minute, I thought it might have been Carolyn herself. But that message never would have been sent by her.
Well, I repeated it just as Mrs. Minton told it to me, Miles. She said you'd understand.
So Mrs. Minton still wants me to stay, huh?
Well, I think you should too, Miles. You haven't done what you set out to do. You'll be going back with Carolyn still so much on your mind, you won't be able to settle down.
I can forget her. I will forget her. And as much as I'd like to do what her mother suggests, I can't possibly see anything to be gained.
Oh, Miles, is
Carolyn's made it clear the books are clean where she's concerned. She won't talk sense. She won't be reasonable. She's even laughed at. I feel as though I'd made a complete fool out of myself. No, the books are closed where I'm concerned, Debbie, and for the life of me, I can't see what Mrs. Minturn's driving at. I can't see her point.
She said you'd understand.
She said in some curious way I was good for Carolyn. Because Carolyn's apathetic except when I'm around. Then all she feels is anger. Hot, burning anger. In my opinion, Mrs. Minturn's mixed up herself. If anger's the only emotion Carolyn can feel now, I see no reason for my staying here and being the butt of her anger and a laughing stock in the bargain. No point to that. It accomplishes nothing.
Yet, you knew she'd be angry and irritated when you came down here.
First, yes, but I expect to get over it. No, I've had enough, Debbie. We're going back.
Oh, but at least it seems to me you owe Mrs. Minton the decency of an explanation.
Well, I do.
Well, she came to you, Miles. She asked you to help her, and you said you would.
That was before.
But you can't cope with us alone. Oh, she needs you. I never knew you to let anyone down before. You're letting Carolyn's mother down if you walk out on her now. At least, without an explanation.
Well, look, Debbie, is this a dodge to get back to the Seaside Lodge again?
Oh, certainly not. It's only common sense, Miles. More than that, it's common decency. You started a job. You agreed to do what Mrs. Minton wanted. I can't see you backing out of a job or breaking your word without making your position clear to her.
It's a little later when Miles Nelson walks alone through the woods and up the beach, a mile or so to the Seaside Lodge. This, he tells himself, is the last time he'll be taking this walk along the ocean's edge. As he comes to the bend from which the Seaside Lodge is visible, he sees Skippy playing there on the sand with another child. He sees that two women are sitting nearby, watching the children at play. Both of them are strangers. And so he goes into the cabin, intending to say goodbye to Doris, and wondering whether Carolyn, too, will be there. Carolyn hasn't seen the youthful figure of the district attorney walking down the sand, for she's near the beach, seated behind a large rock from where she can see Skippy playing with his little friend. She is unaware of the presence of the two women on the other side of the rock, for it cuts them from view. And as the surf comes in, and the children laugh and play, Carolyn thinks,
if only life could be as easy and carefree for all of us as it is for Skippy and his little playmates. If only we had as few memories of the past as they have. If only the future looked as simple as it does to them. It should be that way for me. It has to be that way. For if it isn't, unless I make my life and our future happy, Skippy won't be happy either. It can't can't help but affect him.
The children are having a good time, Eleanor. Just leave them alone for now.
The sound of the women's voices drifts to Carolyn. She is lost in thoughts of her own.
I can't let my feelings affect Skippy. His happiness is everything. His life can't be touched or marked by the things I've let myself in for. What people may think of me can't be allowed to hurt him. And it won't. It won't. He's been so young through all of this. He may never know. People will forget. I must forget, too. I feel certain that if we can just
say... I must say that this girl seems a decent enough sort, Eleanor. At least she has the good judgment to stay by herself and not to come to the lodge for meals.
If that can be called good judgment after everything else she's done. Oh,
small wonder she wants to rest after the ordeal of the trial.
Certainly. A lot of people do wonder, you know, about that letter.
But, my dear, she was acquitted.
Oh, yes. But where there's smoke, there's fire, you know. And no one could possibly deny the fact that she's led a most sensational life. Mary.
Now, don't get up, Eleanor. What's the matter?
That child playing with my Ruthie is her son.
Oh, they're all right. Let them alone.
My dear Mary, if you think I want my child to play with that Kramer woman's boy...
The boy's done nothing.
Do you expect me to pretend he's not the son of a woman?
But he hasn't done anything, Eleanor. Surely you can't hold him responsible.
Yes, he will be held responsible all his life for her.
Now, Eleanor.
It may not be fair. It may not be right. But that's the way it will be. And I, for one, don't want my daughter playing with me.
You won't have to worry about that.
Mrs. Kramer.
Don't worry about your daughter. Skippy. Oh, Skippy, darling, come here.
Oh, Mommy.
People mustn't hold him responsible. He's so little. So helpless and innocent. Why do you say those things?
Hey, Mommy, he's playing with Ruthie. Ruthie sure is nice.
Darling, we're going in.
Oh, why do you have to carry me, Mommy?
Because I want to hold you close, darling, that's why. Oh, Skip, we'll go in and see Granny, shall we?
Heartsick, carrying a bewildered child in her arms, Carolyn walked slowly up the beach toward the cabin. This was the unkindest blow of all, and she is more frightened of the future than ever as she approaches the cabin, unaware that Miles Nelson, to her mind responsible for all her shame and humiliation, is at this moment with her mother, waiting for her. Excuse me, young lady. I need the microphone.
Jeepers, I got a message for you.
Later, please. Friends, your hands can have that ivory look in just 12 days. Younger looking, prettier.
But Mama told me that...
Not now. If the wrong soap for dishes has harmed your hands, float a cake of ivory in your dishpan. Your hands can have that ivory look in just 12 days.
Listen, you. Why the brush?
I'm busy. Yes, friends, you'll say ivory's mild, mild, mild.
You say, they say. Why can't I say?
For dishes, try the skin soap more doctors advise than all other brands put together. Ivory's wonderful for hands in the dishpan. Gentle Ivory is baby's soap.
This baby's getting sore.
Why, a change to ivory means whiter knuckles, smoother fingertips.
It's all true.
Huh?
Mama sent me to tell you. She tried ivory for dishes. It works.
Oh, well, why didn't you speak up, girl?
Why didn't I speak up, he asked me.
Well, here, you take the microphone.
Thank you. Listen, all you kids. My mother proved it. Your hands can have that ivory look in just 12 days.
Okay. Again tomorrow, The Right to Happiness. Compliments of Procter & Gamble, makers of Ivory Soap. The soap that makes everybody happy.
Including babies.
99 and 44 100% pure. It floats. Hugh Conover speaking.